how far would a mother go to regain control? Vivian is a master manipulator. She inherited the behavior from her own mother, Joyce, who endured a problematic childhood, creating emotional issues that grew stronger and more challenging as she aged. Vivian had always been desperate to escape her mother's controlling ways and explosive temper. She pictured herself better, living a life created in her fruitful imagination. She never anticipated that she would end up mirroring those same extreme traits with her own daughter, Rosemary. Now, coarsely shaped by generations of parental control and emotional abuse, young Rosemary must find her way to break that cycle and make peace with both the life that she's been forced to lead and the questionable choices and behavior of the women who came before her. A hidden truth helps her find peace and some sort of understanding as she unravels the lies that bind.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show, the podcast for mothers and daughters who want to build stronger bonds, deepen their understanding, and transform their relationships. I'm your host, Brittany Scott, licensed therapist and mother-daughter relationship coach. After years of working with hundreds of daughters and mothers, I've developed strategies that help break generational patterns, heal wounds, and create the loving relationships you've always wanted. Each week, I'll be sharing insights from real clients, expert interviews, and practical tools you can use immediately to improve your mother-daughter dynamic. Whether you're struggling with communication breakdowns, navigating major life transitions, or simply want to take your already good relationship to the next level, the show is for you. And yes, the transformation I guide my clients through can be yours too. I'll share more about how you can work with me. It's time to experience the relationship you both deserve. Are you ready? Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to or welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. I'm your host, Brittany. What you heard at the opening of this episode was me reading the summary of a book that we are going to talk about. A few months ago, I received an email asking if I'd be interested in an accelerated reader copy of a book. And I excitedly said yes, because it was about mother-daughter relationships. The book is called The Lies That Bind Mothers and Daughters by Katia Ritchie. And I got to interview her, and I am sharing the interview with you. I'm excited for you to listen to her story, listen to her writing process and what this book meant for her, and learn about the book with the hopes that you will read it for yourself. If you struggle with a mother wound, or you're raising daughters and you don't want to create a mother wound, I think this book would be an interesting read. It has so many dynamics, and it was written so well in a way to understand how things are passed down inside of mother-daughter relationships and how generational patterns and curses get created and how sometimes they're really hard to break. Without further ado, let's jump into the interview and let you hear from the author. Thank you for asking me to read the book and giving me that opportunity. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Well, you're welcome, but thank you. I'm really appreciating being on your show.
I'd like you to tell the listeners, before we jump into like the whole conversation and where we're going to take this, tell the listeners about the writing process and about the book.
Okay, so this is the first book I've ever written, except for a few little chapter books when I was a little girl. I read a lot when I was younger, and reading back so long ago, I always knew I wanted to write. There was just something about it. What I got out of books, I wanted to give to others. And so life took over, work takes over. I had an opportunity in my mid-50s to take a break from work, and I did nothing for a year. I was a little nervous about that. However, the March of the following year, I had this need to get these characters that had obviously built up in my head over the year out of my head. My first draft was saved in April, and I finished the manuscript in July. So it was a fast and furious, incredible journey. I cried, I laughed. The story just developed itself based on my life, people I've run into, people I know, and I just needed a place to put it all. And that's where it came from very quickly. I found a publisher, they liked it, we carried on, and here we are. It's crazy.
Here we are. And the book, so while I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, I tell clients about this. Oh my God, this is how we trace the lineage and the family line. And the book is just laid out so perfectly in how I help women to heal the mother wound.
Oh my God. It's real. That's really great to hear. I wanted to kind of showcase behaviors, and I wanted to give those behaviors reason and compassion, because mothers and daughters have difficult relationships and we walk away feeling things. And I guess I wanted to dive a little deeper into why did these things happen and why do things happen? Why do people behave the way they behave? There's got to be a reason. So the three generations of women, poor Joyce, man, like she had it the worst, but I needed her to have that experience so that then her daughter could experience her as that person, not as the person she could have been.
Right.
Because of those life experiences, she became the mother she became. And then it just snowballed from there.
Right.
And then that little girl had the best of intentions. She wanted to be a great mother. She wanted to have the big family. She wanted to have the nice home. And her life circumstances caused things to happen, which then created the third generation.
Yeah. One thing that I have said, so I talk about breaking generational curses and cycles and, you know, being cycle breakers. One thing that I have said is that whoever is a cycle breaker today, I bet if they look back and went through their lineage, they will see where the baton is actually being handed to them to finish cycle breaking. That most moms, not all moms are self-aware enough, but most moms have broken at least one. She just didn't break enough. And I think you highlighted that in these stories, that each of them did try or did break one cycle. They just didn't break enough to bring about enough change.
Right. And offer their offspring the experience of themselves as that unwounded person. Right. I love that you saw that. You as a therapist.
I mean, you wrote it. It's all in there. You know, reading between the lines.
Yeah.
So how much of this book is your story and how much is it just the characters?
I would say that probably the end, the cycle breaker, is my story, right? I'm a cycle breaker. And the rest of it was, it came about from my experience in my world, within my family unit. And I never knew my grandparents. So I created the grandmothers that are in this story. I wish I had known them. There was a lot of times when arguments would end, right? Like, you're just like your mother. And I would be like, what was she like? And heated arguments. Why is she just like her mother? So that's where it came from. I wanted to create an explanation for myself of why I am where I am now versus where I guess it could have been. But yeah, so Joyce and Vivian are definitely two women that I wish I'd known.
Okay. So you would be Rosemary in the story, in a way.
In a way, yeah. Now, having said that, there is a little bit of Vivian and there is a little bit of Joyce in me as well. I feel like the emotions that all three women felt are emotions that I have felt, but the story that is in the book is not what I've experienced. I wanted the emotions to be there, but I wasn't, like, I didn't want to share my personal experiences.
Right.
But I wanted to show those emotions because life is hard. We have feelings and things happen and we get into places of being completely lost and not knowing what to do. And then decisions are made, I guess, based on our experiences.
So there's another theme in this book that I feel really shined, and it's motherhood doesn't happen in a vacuum. So it's not happening between a mother and a daughter. Mothering and parenting and motherhood is happening in society. And often we blame and demonize mothers
without ever looking at the rest of the picture of who's around and who else is a part of this parenting, this motherhood. And in your story, there were the fathers, the men, and they're around. They're in the story, but no one ever intervened. And I feel like that shows, like, it's real world. There's so many fathers that are a part of mother wound stories, and their pieces, they did nothing to stop her.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I had that conversation. Readers have told me, like, Elliot should have stepped up, and he didn't. But Elliot had his own wounds based on his relationship with his mother, and his focus was to manage his spouse in a better way than his father managed his mother, right? And I think that I love that people are catching that, because he tried, right? He tried to support Rosemary, but knowing his wife, he knew that if she saw any of that support, there'd be hell to pay for both. So that's why. But Roy and Sam, I love Roy and Sam as parents. They really did wonders for Teddy, right? They were there, and Teddy was able to become a successful individual and a father himself because of Roy and Sam.
Right.
But then poor Vivian wasn't so lucky.
Nope, because she fell right under her mom.
And I think that back in that era, you know, girls didn't go to work with their dads. She wasn't pulled into that environment where it was much more fruitful for great conversations and relationship building. She was just stuck at home with mom and did what she knew best. And that was to appease and try and be the best daughter that she could be.
Okay, I'm going to come back to more of the book, but that way we get to know a little bit about you.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that this book was written because of what you experienced, but it's not necessarily your story.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to write this, knowing that you have your own mother wound, but you're writing for other characters and stories that aren't necessarily yours?
Yeah. What was it like? Cathartic? I highly recommend. Oh, my therapist told me to write a book years ago. And it was incredibly helpful because I was able to create empathy for the women that came before me. And one of my editors said, you know, I wanted to hate Vivian, but I empathize with her so much. And that's exactly what I wanted. I walked away from the final manuscript feeling peaceful, happy, hopeful, and cleansed of heaviness and weight that I was carrying. So I highly recommend. I mean, like I said, I cried and I laughed. And when I still read parts of the book, I cry because I feel for the pain of the characters. But life is painful. We all walk around like, hey, everything's great. Yeah, the reason I wanted to write this book is I wanted to have truthful conversations with women about their relationships. Because for years, I just played a role. Everything's great. Everything's great. And I shared with a friend a little bit of this story before it was finished. And she said, oh my God, I have the same. I haven't talked to my mother in 20 years. And that conversation would have never happened. Our friendship would have never become as close had I not been writing this book, because we would have never talked about it. It's something you just don't say. There's a shame in it. There's sadness. There's grief, like all those things. And it's just not something you open up and talk about. And now I can open up and talk about this.
Yes. There's also a guilt there. I think daughters who don't talk to their moms get guilted for it.
Oh, yeah. And I was so afraid of being judged and seen as a terrible person. But I think my life and my mother's life is way better now. She is doing what she does and I'm doing what I'm doing. And I have a lot of compassion and understanding, diving into these characters and really kind of living through them, recognizing I get it. It was hard and it wasn't ideal. And I'm okay with it. And I certainly hope that she's completely okay with it as well.
Does she know about the book?
Yes. And would I want to talk to her more about it? Perhaps one day if she'd like, but I'm okay also not to, because women in my situation will understand this completely. And like a friend of mine said, I'm so okay with moving forward the way things are. There's no need, because once you find your peace, there's no need.
Right.
When relationships are difficult, some people can push through, but then others decide not to, right?
Yeah. You've come to the level of acceptance of the mom you received.
Yeah. And it hasn't been easy.
I mean, the book proves that.
It hasn't been easy, but we're all on this planet to try and do the best we can for ourselves, right? And I think for so long, I was trying to do the best for someone else. And you can't do that. Melody Riddell's book, Codependent No More, changed my life. One sentence in there changed my life. You're not responsible for other people. And I thought I was. I thought I was responsible for other people's happiness. That book started this snowball of me recognizing that I've just been living somebody else's life and trying to do the best I can. And it's so much easier not to do that. And I think it's very respectful. Who am I? No one else is going to make someone else happy. I look back now and it's like, God, I wish I could have gotten to this conclusion years ago, because it's not my place to try and make anybody happy.
Right.
And to try and make someone else's traumatic life better.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big takeaway. So that book was huge. And anyone going through this process,
that's a good book to read. Yes. There's so much freedom in that you don't have to do anything for others. You don't have to live your life for them. You don't have to make decisions for them. You get to just live your life for you.
Yeah. And I realize, like I say now, it's like, how disrespectful of me to assume, right, that I could change anything for some other human being on this planet. I mean, it's just, so again, I took a while.
Late bloomer.
Okay.
I think so. Even in the late bloomer, taking a while, I think that also goes to show where society is today and where daughters are today, and that there is so much support and freedom in actually making these choices, because generations before, you couldn't.
Exactly. Women lived with dire consequences, whether it was their actions or somebody else's actions on them. Like, they had no choice. And I feel like women of my era are recognizing that, the same thing that I'm recognizing right now. It's like, there was so much effort put into so many different places rather than ourselves. And hey, we actually have the opportunity to really take care of ourselves instead of others.
And let other people take care of you.
Yeah, well, dears, that's a hard one.
That's hard. Yeah, okay. Accepting that help and letting it be there.
Right.
I mean, women are taught to give care. They're taught to be, you know, caregivers and support others.
Yeah.
Most women aren't taught how to accept it or how to ask for it and receive it.
Yeah. I think that's just the nature of being the person who has the children and has to take care of, right?
Yes. Also the nature of being a woman, being a girl.
Yeah. It's just the natural role of females, I think. And not to take anything away from men who are great caregivers. Not at all. We're talking about gals.
Right. They're the anomaly.
Yeah.
And they exist and we love them, but we inherently teach girls to caregive. Born, who does a mom look to for support? The next in line?
Yeah. And I think that is a natural and maybe even subconscious action, right? Like, I listened to things that I shouldn't have probably listened to when I was younger, because I was a mini therapist. She downloaded stuff to me that she was frustrated about. And I think it is. And if that daughter grows up being that person fulfilling that role, then why not? It just grows and grows. And codependency, never even knew what that word meant. I didn't. And then when I realized what it meant, it's like, oh, that's incredible that I've done that.
But that's what happens when moms need their daughters to emotionally take care of them, when it should be the other way around. Mothers are supposed to emotionally take care of their daughters and not need it back from them in return.
Yeah.
That's part of flipping everything in the right direction.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but I'm not a mother. I'm a stepmom. And the thought of being a mother was so monumental to me. I thought, there's no way I could ever do that job. So I didn't. I love being a stepmom.
Yeah.
I love a co-parent with my husband's ex-wife and him. And I mean, I think that we've come a long way. But yeah, being a mother was just so big for me that I just couldn't see myself being able to fulfill that role.
Would that be because of the example you got?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then fear of repeating a cycle.
Yeah. Not wanting to become her.
Absolutely petrified that I would. And you know what? I can probably admit full-heartedly that I don't have the capacity, the tools to actually be that. So stepmom worked for me.
Yeah. So when women are completely honest about that, I don't like that there's now this kind of back and forth on, well, why wouldn't a woman want to become a mother? Or, you know, I never want to have children. Well, that's just rude. Or like, there's a back and forth now on women not wanting to become mothers. But I'm actually so proud of the women who will say that out loud and who will make that decision, because that one, that frees you to be a mother, and I'm putting it in quote, but being a mother in your own way. So for you, that became stepmother, which is a different role, but still a caring role. Or it frees you up to be an auntie. It frees you up to be a support system for another mom, because you have more capacity to support her, and then she can be the best mom that she can be.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we look at women who choose, well, not we, because I don't, but some of society looks at women who choose not to become mothers and pretend like they don't understand it. I think there's so much freedom in that. And also, do we all have to be mothers? Traditional mothers?
Yeah. Because to your point, there is a lot of caregiving that's needed, and jump in and help others if you're not going to. And I wholeheartedly agree with you, is like any kind of judgment on a decision that is that huge should be kept to oneself, because there are so many reasons. And hopefully if a person reads this book, they understand like, oh yeah, there are a lot of deep level things that we're all carrying that weren't even talking about. And there are some pretty good reasons, and selfless, I would guess, to not become. I think it's selfless.
I agree.
Because, I mean, I've come to this place now in my life, and I wonder, oh, I probably could have managed it with the person I am now. Even 5 years ago, there's been a lot of growth over the last few years for me. And I just think that, you know, more kindness towards each other is paramount at this point, as we all try and come to our own selves, the age that we finally get there.
Right. I think it's selfless too. Again, I think I'm going to keep coming back to the word freedom, because I'm going to come back to the last two characters of the book. So freedom is what is ringing in my head. But there's so much freedom in knowing that you don't have to be a mother if you don't believe you have the capacity, because mothering is so much more than birthing a child.
Mm.
Are you going to cause another mother wound, or are you going to put a stop to them here? And if you can't do that, why bring another child that could be harmed because you're not ready for what motherhood entails? It's so much more than just giving birth.
But then, like, along with the judgment, there's so much social pressure too. Married. When are you going to have your kids?
When are you going to have another one?
Right? So, like, back off. Like, let people be what they are and who they are.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's an interesting place to try and make the best life for oneself with so much pressure on so many different levels.
Okay, so Rosemary, I'm not going to give away the ending, but I was so happy with how things turned out for her. And it was like a relief that, okay, I needed this. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know what was going to happen once her story started.
Yeah.
But I realized once I got to the end how much I needed that to be the ending.
Oh, good.
Because I could feel like myself, like, oh, okay, we got here. But why freedom keeps coming up for me and within her story is the friends she made, because that changed everything.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything else after that, but.
Yeah. So that came about. I have some very, very good friends from early on, a handful. I've never been one with a huge group of friends because I'm that person. However, in adulthood, I have made a gang of women friends, and it was hard for me at first, but over the years, I've come to see how wonderful female support can be. And that's another piece of this whole story, is like, I can lean on people now where before I couldn't. I didn't know how to navigate a female relationship very well. So therefore, my two or three very good friends from long ago who've always been there. And now I have like this incredible group of women who are wonderful mothers who have shown me how great a parent can be. I've been jealous their children because of what they've received. And it goes on and on and on. But yeah, I think that friendships are huge. And if someone has the ability and the courage to take the step and trust another and tell their story, it might be the opening into something amazing. And it was for me for sure. And my husband was the first friend that I had who I told things to.
Okay.
And he accepted me. And meanwhile, I thought, okay, once I tell you this stuff, it ain't gonna be good.
Right.
He's still here.
So that's good.
But then little by little, you know, it just kind of snowballed. And like I say, like this book now has just opened up exactly what I wanted, because now I hope that someone can contact me and say, yeah, I've felt this and I see that it can be different. And so hence that's where Sarah came from. And she was that friend.
Yeah. I was going to ask, where in your story was that protection? But you answered it. There's so much healing in other people. And I think that's the hard part about healing relational wounds. Mother wounds are a relational wound. And so many people take this big thing, healing, this giant thing that needs to happen, and then try to do it alone. And you can't heal relational wounds alone. You have to heal them in relationships.
Yeah. And it's hard. Like, it's painful and it's hard. And it takes a while, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And then you have slip backs and setbacks and you fall and you stumble and you just gotta kind of keep going and reaching out to those people that support, because they still support, even if you fall.
Sarah said something to Rosemary, and I wrote down the question from the book. She said, "What happened to your mom to make her that way?" I was like, oh, I love that question, because that's part of the healing, is understanding the women before you.
Yes. And, you know, I don't know if Rosemary understood her mother.
Well, Vivian didn't let her.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows where that will sit, but I think Rosemary found her way, and, you know, with Mary as well. God bless Mary.
Yes.
We won't give away too much, but right, like the key is it doesn't take a lot.
No, it just takes relationships. And I know that that's hard, because that's so vulnerable. Like how you said with your husband, if, you know, I'm going to say this and you're like, this is probably the end of it. You have to be okay with that possibly being the end of it. And that is so scary that why would I do that? I might as well just keep this to myself.
Oh, 100%. And I took years to tell him anything about my past. He couldn't believe it. And again, you know, people who experience certain things are black and white. And yeah, I didn't have a thought that he would stick around. For sure, he'd be like, no, that's too much baggage.
Right.
And it's crazy to think that way, because
that's not how people are.
Yeah. But you feel that, I think.
Yeah. It's scary. Okay, another quote from the book that stuck out to me was, this came from Rosemary. It says, "I finally got away from her, and now my mind won't let her go."
Yeah, how about that?
Right. So I brought that one up because I speak to a lot of women, and I'm sure some of them are listening to this, who choose no contact, are estranged, which I think you mostly are. So I finally got away from her, and now my mind won't let her go. That just shows estrangement, even in the best decision, when it needs to be the decision, is still very difficult.
Yeah. There's no easy way. It isn't easy. And it continues to be painful. But 90% of the time, it's peace and grateful, right? Like, it's different and it's good, but it's still there. I'm glad you caught that.
I fully read this and I took my time.
I love it.
Like, I have quite a few notes here.
Oh, I love it.
But this will turn into be like a 2-hour episode if we go through everything.
Maybe a part two one day.
Maybe, yes. Let people read it and then come back so we're not giving spoilers.
Okay.
I think you did a wonderful job with the themes that show up in many mother wound stories. And like I said before, you not only showed the lineage of the women, you showed the sidebars of the men that were there that just couldn't make a difference.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you. I'm honored to hear you say it.
Yeah, there were so many parts where I'm just like, okay, yes. Like, yes, this is, I need women with a mother wound to read this, because it shows how it's easily passed down. It shows how you said earlier that you needed the behaviors to make sense. And I tell people often, all behavior does make sense if you know the context.
Yes.
Now, they don't necessarily make sense in like, well, why would she do that? It's, oh, I understand how she would do that.
Yeah. And understand the thinking behind certain actions. Maybe. I mean, you know, where I don't want to give anything away, but on the stairs, Vivian and Rosemary on the stairs, Vivian truly thought that she was doing something good. And I asked my book club this and they're like, oh no, she's just a...
Yeah.
But when I was writing it, I hoped to show that she thought she was doing the right thing.
It was horrible.
But she walked away thinking, okay, stronger, better. I don't have to worry about her.
Yes. And that is why, even when we talked, when we met before the recording, when I said, I'm supposed to hate Vivian. I know I am. Just reading the story. And it's very easy to hate her. But because of the work that I do and reading the story, I'm like, okay, let me see what's actually playing out here. She did try. And so it's hard to completely hate her because I can see the points in where she wanted things to be different. She desperately did. She just didn't know how. And that doesn't make any of this okay for Rosemary. That doesn't mean that Rosemary should return. It just provides a level of understanding and healing so that this can stop.
That was the point, right? Like,
right.
I just felt like we needed to see a positive outcome. I was going to go a third generation. And I asked my publisher, like, how much can I torture the reader and how much torture myself? He's like, torture us.
No,
I just can't. And it became such a win for Rosemary that I got so excited about her win and her bravery at the end and the family that she just kind of stumbled into too, right?
Yes. I think that's why at the end where I was like, okay, I needed that. I will say the end is part of what, like, I mean, the whole book is written very well, but the ending makes me want to share this. Because if women are going to know that healing a mother wound is possible, you showed that. It wasn't pretty. So I need people to read the book. It wasn't pretty. Didn't happen right away. It wasn't like, oh, so now everything's like butterflies and rainbows for her. None of that happened. It was still very difficult, but the reader gets to see that it's possible.
Yeah, that's what I want. There's a potential there because we walk around and we hurt. And oh my gosh, if this little story helps somebody figure it out, that would be amazing.
It absolutely will. And I think you have a spinoff, a spinoff opportunity.
Tell me. What are you talking about? More.
I need to know about Ada Grace.
Oh.
She needs a story because she's sitting between a generation broken and a generation healed. And I will not tell why she sits there. I need the listeners to go read because I need them to understand what I'm talking about without me saying it. You have a spinoff opportunity because that left me with, okay, what is this actually going to look like? What's going to happen?
Right.
Because this can go very bad. Also, it has a potential to not.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering who will be the catalyst for it to not, because it could be one of the two women.
Yeah.
Right? But which would it be? It really, like, it could. You opened up the door for redemption.
Yeah.
And so if you ever wanted to write again, I need to know about her. I want to know.
I'm going to make a note. I am writing.
Okay.
But that is a really good little nugget. I'm going to sit on that. I'm going to let that brew a little. I like it.
I mean, I see two possible outcomes and I see two possible reasons why. And so I'd wonder what her story would turn out to be. Who is she? What happens to her?
Right? She was so loved.
Yes.
And saw a family that none of the others really saw. And then, you know, based on the timing, as she becomes an adult, DNA testing could jump in and blow it all up.
Right. But also, so could her family.
Right. Yes. It could be like potentially Vivian's last attempt to destroy.
Yes. Yeah. Or the other way. I've got to know.
What if you ran that up?
Yes. I need you. If you go down this path, I need to know. So
Okay. You'll be the first to know. Maybe I'll toss some things at you and let you know what you think.
Oh, yes, please. I would love that.
Great.
Well, is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
Oh, my gosh. Contact me. If you read the book, please contact me. My website, I have a contact form. Let me know what you think. Start a conversation. Like, I want to talk about the different outcomes of people's experiences, right? And gosh, if this book helps, I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I will leave all the contact information in the show notes. So
wonderful.
Just click on the notes. Everything will be there.
Great.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thank you for writing this. Thank you for letting me read early.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reading early. And thank you for having me on this. I mean, meeting you has been wonderful. I love that you got what I wanted people to get out of this. And I do hope that your listeners find some nuggets in here that will help.
Yeah, me too. I think they will. I do think they will. And it wasn't hard for me to pull all of this out.
Mm.
It was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was so happy some things did come up because I was hoping they would. And then it was right there.
There it was.
Oh,
I'm glad.
There's a lot in here. You did amazing. And yeah, thank you for this contribution to the mother-daughter space. I think this is huge.
I'm honored. I'm honored. I want to talk to you again.
You will. This is not the end. I think this is a brand new relationship.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love what you're doing. And I love your podcast. So I'm going to push everybody to listen to this and the rest of your episodes, because I think there are some really wonderful pieces that you put out there already.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this book, I will add to my recommendations. And if you're listening, please click the link in the show notes and get you a copy of the book and read it. It's healing. No matter where you are in your journey, the book is healing. I think you did a phenomenal job. I hope that you enjoyed learning about the book, and I do hope that you are interested and will read the story for yourself. I am not bringing this to you because I get any kind of pay for it. I genuinely read the book. I have a hard copy now, and I enjoyed it. And so I want you to read it. I think it can bring about a lot of understanding or a lot of healing just by reading about a mother-daughter who is not you and knowing that you're not alone in this. I do want to add in a correction and say that the book that she mentioned earlier called Codependent No More is by Melody Beattie. She had said the wrong last name. But I'm going to include a link to that book as well in the show notes so you don't have to go and Google search. And I will leave info on you finding the author. If you do read the book and enjoy it, you can share that with her and let her know your thoughts. That is all I have for today, and I will catch you in the next one.
That's all for today's episode of the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. Thanks so much for spending this time with me. I hope you picked up some valuable insights that you can start using right away in your own relationship to create deeper connection and understanding. If something from today's episode resonated with you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with the mother or daughter in your life who needs to hear this message. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and review so we can reach more families and transform the way mothers and daughters relate to each other. For those ready to take the next step, you can visit my website to learn more about my private coaching programs and my program designed specifically for mother-daughter pairs. Whether you're dealing with communication challenges, life transitions, or just want to strengthen an already good relationship, I'm here to help. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.